Old New York City is a friendly old town. From Washington Heights to Harlem on down, there's a mighty many people in the middle and all around. They'll kick you when you're up and knock you when you're down. It's hard times from the country, living down in New York town.
I don't even consider even writing songs. I don't, when I've written it, I don't even consider that I wrote it when I got done. The song was there before me, before I came along. I just sort of came down and just sort of took it down with a pencil, but it was all there before I came around. That's the way I feel about it.
If you had walked into Gertie's when Bob Dylan was playing, you would have seen Bob with his hat and his little harmonica holder around his neck, on stage all by himself.
Well, I saw it advertised one day that the Bear Mountain Picnic was coming my way. Come along and take a trip, we'll bring you up there on a ship. Bring the wife and family, bring the whole kids. Yippee.
Well, there were some people who went, ugh! And there were some people who went, wow, this guy is really cool. And there were other people, a lot of people went, who does he think he is, Woody Guthrie?
EMP curator Jason Emmons.
Yeah, two things that I really love are, one, Bob Dylan's personal copy of Bound for Glory, which is Woody Guthrie's autobiography. And this is really a book that changed Bob Dylan's life. He comes from Hibbing, goes to start his freshman year at the University of Minnesota, and discovers Woody Guthrie and Leadbelly.
Hey, Woody Guthrie, but I know that you know all the things that I'm a-saying and many times more. I'm a-singing you this song, but I can't sing enough, 'cause there's not many men who've done the things that you've done.
John Cohen.
Actually, it was in 1962, after I'd made a little film of him, and Bob called me into the, I think it was at the Kettle of Fish. He said, what do you think of this, John? And he showed me the words to Hard Rain.
I saw a white ladder all covered with water. I saw 10,000 talkers whose tongues were all broken. I saw guns and sharp swords in the hands of young children. And it's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, and it's a hard, it's a hard rain they're gonna fall.
I said, well, if you're gonna write songs like this, you know, you don't need Woody Guthrie. You should be looking at, and I really said Rambo and Verlaine then. Oh, who's that? You know.
Who killed Davy Moore? Why? And what's the reason for?
Is he young?
This guy is taking the traditional ballad that I grew up with. He's infused that with a new idea, the problems of our time, the social problems, political problems, and he's putting that in a traditional folk music form that we all understand, but he's adding something. He's talking about what's going down in the country as a whole, and he's talking about individuals in society.
Who killed Davy Moore? Why and what's the reason for? Not us, said the angry crowd, whose screams filled the arena loud. It's too bad he had to die that night. We'd just like to see a good old-fashioned fight. We didn't mean for him to meet his death. We just wanted to see some sweat. There ain't nothing wrong in that. It wasn't us that made him fall. You can't blame us at all. Who killed Davy Moore? Why and what's the reason for?
It was only when Bob decided to sing the songs himself that the idea of somebody singing their own song came. That was the innovation in my mind, because the idea of a singer-songwriter didn't exist yet.
And then one of the things we have here too is Bob Dylan's lyrics for, handwritten lyrics for Blowing in the Wind. And I don't know, whenever I see Dylan's personal lyrics, it's always exciting to see, because in this case he's got three different verses, but he shifted the third verse where the second verse was and saying, let's move that air there. And it's just exciting to see the creative process that he goes through.
Yes, and how many years can a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? Yes, and how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free.
Artie Mogul.
Imagine being sitting in your publishing office and a guy comes in and I tell him, okay, you can sing me three songs. One of the three songs he sings me is Blowing in the Wind. I almost fainted. I want to sign you right now. And we did. Right then and there. The thing that I regard as the single biggest accomplishment in my 56 years in the music business is the day I married Peter, Paul, and Mary to Blowing in the Wind.
How many times must a man look up before he can see the sky?
This is what I did for Dylan that a John Hammond couldn't do. I got busy making records of all his songs and sending them to A&R people all over the business. I mean, I think that's what really got his career going, even more than his records.
Then you better start swimming or you sink like a stone, for the times they are.
This is the tambourine that Bob says he wrote Mr. Tambourine Man about. This is the very instrument.
Bruce Langhorne.
When I played it, I would walk and I would play.
So I don't even remember when Bob made the shift from topical to personal songs. But there were people in the folk music field who were incensed. And I think it was very... It wasn't funny, but it's sort of revealing that these people had made, said Bob Dylan was their big hope. He was their spokesman now. And so when he left that behind, they felt betrayed.
Hey, does anybody know the first verse of this song? I can't understand. I let go of my hand. It's the same song, only started now. I can't understand. She let go of my hand and left me here facing the wall. I'd sure like to know why she did go, but I can't get close to her at all. Though we kissed through the wild blazing that time, she said she would never forget. But now morning is clear, it's like I ain't here. She just acts like we never have met.
So in the section on Dylan going electric at Newport, one of the things we have is the notebook that Robert Shelton, the music critic for the New York Times, had at that performance. So he says, Dylan on at 9:25, twice he writes, leather jacket, and then later he writes, Dylan equals leather jacket and black shirt, as if, oh my God, this guy doesn't look like a folk artist anymore.
Mike Seeger.
I remember really well going out in front of, because I wanted to watch and see what was going to happen. I don't know whether I should say this, but Bob Dylan's voice was very harsh to me prior to that. But when he came on and did Maggie's Farm, to me it all made sense. It was a great performance.
Well, she talks to all the servants about man and God and law. Everybody says he's the brains behind all.
Robbie Robertson.
This is in 1965. And the Hawks now, we weren't playing with Ronnie anymore. It was right around the time, I guess, when Bob was... going electric. But anyway, I went to New York and I met with them and talked with Bob, and he told me what he was thinking about, and we'd play something, and we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't think it was very good, and we didn't have a beginning or an end for it. And he'd say, all right, that sounds good. And so the guys in the group were saying, I don't know if he knows how to do this. But in time, we started, you know, getting a little bit better. But and it doesn't help when you're playing and people boo and throw things at you every night. You know, sometimes you think maybe they're right, you know.
When you're lost in rain, and why isn't it Easter time too? And your gravity's down, and negativity don't get you through.
He stood his ground. He didn't. I don't know why, because there was a lot of people telling him that. It wasn't just the odd little whisper in the ear. I've always really admired that he stood up against the, you know, the outcry.
Yes!
I don't believe you. You're a liar.
I think it's just a marvelous thing. I think Bob's trajectory, that maybe is the word for it, his evolution from this to that to this to that, his experiments, his explorations, I don't always go along with it, but I've gotten so much respect for the fact that he's keeps going and keeps trying things. He's not repeating himself. He's not resting on his old image. He's like what my definition of an artist is. And I can only make the comparison to how it must have been for the people around Picasso.